From KXCV KRNW, it's Now Showing with your host, Patty Hawley.
Good afternoon, and thanks for joining us. On this afternoon's program, arts and entertainment will be featured at the Trails West Festival in St. Joseph this weekend. Three stages will provide a variety of music acts, and a new exhibit tells the story of St. Joseph and its residents. A cooperative arts gallery is flourishing in St. Joseph, and the Performing Arts Association celebrates its 30th birthday. The Trails West Festival this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday will bring much more than fine arts to St. Joseph. The festival will feature entertainment at three stages this year. Allison Stewart is volunteer entertainment coordinator. She says the main stage will be opening about 7 o'clock each evening and features national acts. According to her, opening night will be a big one for the main stage.
Friday evening is going to be an exciting night because we are hosting Joe Bonamassa, who is an award-winning, critically acclaimed blues guitarist. He's just absolutely phenomenal, won lots of awards. And it's probably going to be the best show all weekend, to be completely honest. But so he's going to kick off the weekend on, that'll be the 21st of August at 8 p.m. And then on Saturday, we kind of feature one or two up-and-coming country artists. And this year we're really excited because we seem to annually, you know, get really, really lucky and pick some people right on the verge of their career taking off. So we have Luke Bryan and we have Heidi Newfield. And she this year was Female Vocalist of the Year, New Song of the Year. They both have won numerous awards, but we're really excited to be able to feature both artists on Saturday night. And then on Sunday, we kind of typically take back kind of a retro rock and roll group. And so this year we are featuring the 80s rock band Loverboy. Tons and tons of hits. I think after we went through the list, they had over 20 top 10 hits in the 80s. So they're going to be really, really fun. And so that's our main stage for the weekend.
What is the family stage?
The family stage is where we kind of feature very family-friendly, kid-friendly acts. On Friday evening, August 21st, we're going to start off the night at 5:30 with a storyteller. She's very, very animated, so I think people are going to enjoy the storyteller. Immediately following her will be a gal called Funky Mama, and she does all kinds of songs, rock and roll type, that are sing-along for the kids. And then after she's over on that evening, we're going to conclude that stage with a group called the Doodads, and they are a dance group for kids. I mean, they're a band of dads. They perform a lot around the Kansas City area, and so we thought it'd be fun to bring them up. So that's our family stage on Friday. On Saturday, that day is going to be full of crazy stuff. I've got another storyteller coming in. We have the Parasol Puppets, who are going to be featuring George and the Dragon. This is returning from last year because they were such a big hit. We have El Folklorico Antinoco. They are a Spanish dance troupe, and they do phenomenal, traditional folk dances from Mexico. They're going to be performing a couple times during the day on Saturday. And then interspersed between that group is a fun guy named Mario Manzini, who does a Houdini tribute. He's an escape artist, a magician, and so he's going to be doing several shows there on that stage on Saturday, as well as we may have a surprise or two around the festival grounds of some unique escape things that he's going to do. So that's kind of the fun with the family stage. And then on Sunday, that day is going to, we've got a cowboy poet who's a humorist and kind of tells lots of fun stories about rural America. His name's Jerry Schleicher. And then following him during the day, we have two favorites returning. One is Terry Elton, who is a magician, performs regularly at the Kansas City Renaissance Festival, but he's very, very funny. So he's going to be there on Sunday, as well as a juggler comedy guy named Brian Wendling, who has also been at our festival before, and we asked him to come back this year. So the family stage is full of fun. You won't want to leave.
What about the third stage is called the city stage?
The city stage. And that particular stage, we typically have kind of featured more variety in some of our musical acts. You're going to hear country. You're going to hear rock and roll. You're going to hear blues. You're going to hear everything over there. We got a little crazier this year with the city stage. Friday night, we are going to feature some indie rock. That means unsigned independent artists who, we're going to have some acoustic guitar that's going to kick off. And it's a husband and wife team. They call themselves Islet. And they are also kind of along the genre of maybe some Christian music. They're going to kick off the stage Friday evening, and then following them, we have a group called The Act, which is actually the Adam Carter Trio. And if anyone likes the Ben Folds Five, just Ben Folds in general, you're probably going to really like that group. They even do some covers of Ben Folds, but they write all their own material. Adam's a pianist, and he's the feature front man of the band, and very, very talented. And then following in The Act, we have Blue Oyster Culture Club, who actually has a great following here in St. Joe. The guys are a lot of fun, and they do top rock alternative hits from the 1980s, basically. So, they're a very, very fun band, and they're going to be closing out the stage for the night. That'll be till midnight on Friday night. So, if you want to come dance and have a good time, they're a great act to do that. On Saturday, the city stage is going to be kind of diverse. It's going to be very diverse, I should say. We're going to have some blues acts on there. I'm really excited about some guys who, back in the early 70s, they're calling themselves Lovato, Skinner, and Smith. They were in the military together in Germany and started a band and actually played all over Germany while they were in the military serving over there. And this summer, they decided to get together and have a reunion. And I know one of the guys in the band, and I said, why don't we have you guys play at the festival? They're coming from all over the United States to get together and play with each other again. So we're going to feature them a couple times at the festival. They're actually going to play Saturday early in the day around, I believe it's 12:30, and then again on Sunday at about the same time. So that's going to be really exciting. And then after, we've got a few other acts that are really, really kind of fun. So I want to talk about A La Cartoona. They're a authentic vaudeville reproduction, I guess you could say. They write all their own material. There's about three or four of them. They get in costume and they tell amazing stories through song. And they're kind of jazzy. I think people are going to get a big kick out of them. They are about 3:30-ish on Saturday afternoon. And then following them on the city stage will be who has been awarded the best new band in the Kansas City area by Pitch Magazine. And their name is the Ex-Passionates. Amazing little indie Americana country western band. They're just going to be a lot of fun. And then my personal favorite, but the one that I think a lot of people, nobody's probably going to have heard of them. They call themselves the Mongol Beach Party. And they are Latin, Americana, alternative, everything you can think of rolled into one. Great musicians, and they're going to close out that stage again till midnight on Saturday night. And so I don't think anybody will want to miss them because they are absolutely hilarious and just great musicians. So it's going to be a fun time. And then Sunday, pretty easy. I mean, we're going to feature Lovato, Skinner, and Smith again. We've got a group called The Bypass, who are kind of an independent, folkish, but Christian group. And then we have Page Two, who is known quite around St. Joseph as being kind of the funk music of the 70s and 80s. And they are a great blast, a lot of fun. And they're going to close out the stage right before Loverboy takes main stage at about 6 o'clock. So we've got a full lineup of entertainment.
How do you find such diverse groups, and how do you choose between one and another?
We receive things all year long in the mail, and now, we have a MySpace page, and so a lot of musicians connect on the MySpace element. And so that's actually worked out pretty well because we can become friends with another person, and then I can actually get on and see video and hear recordings of what their music is. And so that's very, very helpful. But we do, it's kind of a year-long process. And a few other people on the committee do this, but I usually go out and just go to a lot of places and scout out who I think would be fun to bring to St. Joseph's.
You can find a schedule of the acts on all the stages at the Trails West website. A link to that site is available at kxcv.org. Another exhibit at the Trails West Festival this year is an oral history project. Stacy Park is the organizer of this exhibit.
It's called The Sounds of St. Joseph, Celebrating the Stories of Our Cultural Heritage. And what we have done is interview our community members who have come here from other countries, and also lifelong residents and long-term residents, about the various festivals and neighborhoods in our community.
What's the purpose of this?
One goal of our project was to create stronger social connections. And so what we wanted to do was learn more about all the ways and celebrate the ways that our community is culturally diverse. And what I found really interesting about this project is that I learned more about the different cultures and about celebrations and traditions of people in our community, but I was also able to hear echoes of my own family's stories. And so one of the people that we spoke with, Ramadan Washington, he had this wonderful quote where he was talking about the Juneteenth festival. And so Ramadan, if you're listening, I apologize. I'm not going to say this as eloquently as she did, so I'm paraphrasing. But he talked about how the Juneteenth festival, especially for him, because it has meaning to him, but how all festivals and gatherings are social gatherings, and how when people learn about each other, it helps to break down barriers and to learn about each other. And so my hope is that people will come to the festival and come to the Oral History Project tent and learn about the different cultures.
Tell me how this will be part of Trails West. Now, you mentioned to come to the tent. Is this a spoken word event, or will it be an exhibit? How will people know what you've done?
For this year, what we've done is we have interviewed the participants, and then in the tent, we have created poster boards. And so the poster boards have pictures and excerpts of the stories, and so people can walk around the tent and see that. We'll also have the audio playing so people can listen to excerpts of the stories as they're walking through the tent. We'll have a world map with stickers so people can come through and put a sticker from where their family is from. And also, some of the participants shared recipes from their family, and so we'll have recipe cards for them to take with them. Additionally, I'll be interviewing people on Saturday from 10 to 11 a.m. and then on Sunday from 12 to 1 p.m. So if you would like to tell us more about your histories, I would love to interview you and use that for our project.
Now, what is the ultimate project?
Well, we have two really exciting goals. One is that we hope to archive the stories in the community, and I believe the St. Joseph Museums will then take the recordings and keep that for the community. And the other really exciting project is the theatrical piece, and we hope to create a nonfiction theatrical performance, and that is using the real words of real people. And so what we'll do is we'll take the themes from the stories that we have unearthed and then use those themes to create the nonfiction piece and present that.
Do you have any idea how long it may be before that comes to fruition?
Yes, we hope next year. We hope at Trails West next year. So as soon as we're done with this August, we'll be working on creating the script for the nonfiction theater piece. And I tell you, it's been difficult because as I've listened to the stories, these themes have come up, and it's difficult not to want to think about that because it's very interesting to hear how the stories will echo each other. Themes such as quality education and valuing freedom, and the blending of cultures was really fascinating to listen to, how when you move from another place, how to keep traditions and language and how to keep celebrations alive and blend that with family here in the States. And especially with food, it seems that even if maybe the language isn't passed down, food is something that is passed down. And I heard echoes of that in my own story, so that was really neat to listen to.
Were there any other stories that really touched you? You talked about themes, but what about particular stories?
Sure. Well, I spoke with a woman from Sudan, and I spoke with her also, Deborah Weems. She took the photographs, and she's a very gifted photographer, and she volunteered her time. Rachel McCoy was another interviewer. And but Deborah, I remember Deborah asking Miss King from Sudan what she hoped for her children, and she said, I hope for them to have a good, and I'm paraphrasing, but she said, I hope for them to have a good education. In this country, you can be anything you want. And that really, that struck me when she said that. I spoke with a woman from Venezuela, and she and her husband have four sons. And so she talked about how important it is for her being here, that they this is their home now, but that they still value where they have come from. And so her parents were also immigrants. They had immigrated from Spain to Venezuela. So she talked about how she was able to use her parents as a role model to help her with how to then do the same for her children. And so they speak Spanish at home. The children know Spanish. And there's various dishes. She talked about pan de jamón, which is a ham and cheese bread, and that was something that their family enjoyed. And last of all, and one other story that it was, I spoke with a family. I spoke with a man from the country of Georgia, and he talked about coming here when he was 15, and his father wanted him to come for his education. The country was in conflict, and he wanted him to not be in that conflict, so he wasn't able to speak with his mother for 6 years. And so to not have that contact, that was something that struck me. And he also has, they have found ways, they have two very young children, and they've found ways to incorporate the Georgian culture with their children. And I thought that was really special.
How did you find the people that you were able to interview?
I am not an oral historian, and so what I did was I began by doing a lot of reading, and I contacted an oral historian at the State Historical Society of Missouri, and he helped me by helping me to access lots of reading. And I read from the Oral History Association's website and found out about digital audio recorders. I wanted to get a professional digital audio recorder because we want to archive these stories. So then what I did was I just tried to talk to as many people as I could about what we were doing. And so I began by just talking with people that I knew, and through that finding connections. And so that's how we found people. So it is a small sampling. You know, we have 8 stories, but I think there's a lot of richness there.
Do you think you got a good cross-section of St. Joseph?
What we did was we spoke with, we ended up speaking with 3 people who had immigrated here more recently, 2 people who had immigrated here in the past 40 years, and then 3 long-term residents. And so I felt like it was a wonderful beginning, and it was so fascinating to see how the stories would interweave. And I would say it was a good beginning. I don't feel like I was really able to probably capture everything that I'd want to capture. But I hope that this year people will come through and see a snapshot of the project, and then look forward to the theatrical piece for the following year.
So will you continue finding people to interview and get their stories as well?
That's a great question. I hope to, and I'm not certain what that will look like and how we'll continue with that. But I hope that the project continues on. It's been such an honor. It's such an honor to listen to people's stories, and I was so appreciative. They took time out of their day to come and speak with us, and so we could listen to their stories for this, and we couldn't have done this without them.
Stacy Park is one of the organizers of the Oral History Project at Trails West. Again, you can share your story at the Sounds of St. Joseph Tent Saturday between 10 and 11 a.m. or Sunday from noon to 1. The Trails West Festival will be at the Civic Center Park in St. Joseph. It opens at 5 o'clock tomorrow evening until midnight. Events continue Saturday from 10 a.m. until midnight and on Sunday from noon until 8. There may be new artists joining the 17 current artist members of the Cooperative Art Gallery in St. Joseph. Chairwoman of Gallery 7, Wanda Taylor, says the gallery opened about a year ago, and it brings a wide variety of art to St. Joseph.
Gallery 7 is a cooperative art gallery consisting of 17 artists. We're all members. Everybody volunteers to work at the gallery 6 hours a month. We have committees. We have a jury committee. We have a hanging committee. So we have the only overhead we really have is rent and utilities because the artists volunteer their time.
What does that mean when you have a jury day?
We have a jury committee, and new prospective artists that want to become members of the gallery will bring in 3, 5, 7 pieces of their work that they think best embody their whole body of work. And they will bring them in, and then afterwards the jury committee will consider each one, and then we'll decide who's a good fit with the gallery, and we'll ask them to join.
Now, when you say it's a co-op gallery, mm-hmm. does that mean the art that's shown there is only from
yes.
those 17 artists?
Yes, you have to be juried in as a member. You have to agree to the artist contract, which we let, you know, prospective artists read before they decide to jury in, and they have membership dues, and we just all work the gallery together. It's great.
The artists that are there now, are they from St. Joseph? Or are they from the area?
They're from surrounding areas. I think the two farthest are one's from Maryville, and then I'm from Gallatin, so that's about 50 minutes away. But it is area artists, but the majority are St. Joe.
What kind of art is there?
Oh my, there's everything. We wanted a real diverse group. We didn't want to be too heavy in anything. So we have photography, we have abstract, multimedia, we have photography, jewelry, pottery, colored pencil, oil, acrylic, just about every medium that you can think of.
What are the hours? When can people come down and actually see the exhibit?
Okay, we've just changed our hours. Tuesday through Thursday, it's 12 to 3. And then Friday, it's 12 to 9 in the summer because they have free concerts in the park right across the street from us. And so we stay open for that. Then Saturday, it's 11 to 2 or by appointment. If people want to come down the gallery, they have friends in town and they would like to come down on a Sunday or Saturday evening, we're open by appointment.
Is art for sale at the gallery?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Everything in the gallery is for sale. And we have a lot of small priced items too, gift cards, calendars, things you would find in a museum. Gift shop.
You have a special exhibit coming up, is that correct?
Yes, we do. We like to change out all the artwork every 3 months. So September the 10th will be the next time we change out all the artwork and we'll have a whole new exhibit.
And do you have any idea, will this be a themed exhibit or do you know what kind of art might be in this?
No, we really leave it up to the artists to bring in what they've either been working on, their latest pieces, or depending. Some artists do. Like Deborah Weems, the last time, her theme was flowers. She's a photographer. Sometimes the artists will do that, and that's great. We encourage that. But we leave it up to the artists to what they want to bring in.
This is a relatively new gallery. Why was it organized, and what do you think it will do for the St. Joseph community?
Well, I was talking to Teresa Fankhauser at Allied Arts, and she asked me if I thought St. Joe could support a gallery. And my opinion was it could if it was a cooperative gallery. Vanity galleries don't really work. They're kind of punitive to the artists, I think. And consignment galleries just haven't worked in St. Joe. But this is more of a cooperation between artists to keep art exhibited in St. Joe. And it's good for all the artists that belong to the gallery because it's a really wonderful place to show your artwork.
Wanda Taylor is the chairwoman of Gallery 7, which is located at 118 North 7th Street in St. Joseph. The Performing Arts Association in St. Joseph has been bringing nationally touring shows to the historic Missouri Theater for the past 30 years. In 1979, the Performing Arts Association consolidated the activities of organizations such as Town Hall Center and Community Concerts Association, which had been presenting the arts since 1930. Executive Director for the Performing Arts Association, Christina Lund, says this 30th year will be a special one.
Anytime it's an anniversary, it's definitely a time to celebrate. One thing special and fabulous about this upcoming season, we were able to schedule 7 shows this year, up a bit from usual, usually about 5 to 6. So we're very happy with that. Season ticket sales have been phenomenal. There are still a few left, but everyone is quite excited about the offering.
You have an event coming up in early September. Can you tell me what that is?
Yes, of course. September 12th kicks off the full season. It is a tribute band to no one other than the Beatles. 1964, the tribute will be at 8 o'clock in the evening on Saturday, September the 12th. Tear out your 60s apparel, put a daisy in the hair, and come on down for just a phenomenal concert. It's going to be a good show.
Where does this group come from?
They come from around the nation. They've been together now performing for quite a bit of time. You'll hear Day Tripper, A Hard Day's Night, This Boy, All My Lovin'. We're really going to go back in time and have a good evening.
On some of the literature that I've seen, it says, get ready to become involved. Is the audience a part of this production as well?
They are, in the sense... The band just creates amazing onstage banter. I think it really involves the audience. And yes, you're just going to be taken back and you're really going to appreciate.
When will this production be and where will it be?
We will be opening our season Saturday, September 12th at 8 p.m. with the 1964 The Tribute Concert. It will be held at the Missouri Theater right here in the heart of downtown St. Joe's Entertainment District.
Christina Lund is the Executive Director for the Performing Arts Association in St. Joseph. Ticket information for the association's performances is available by calling the Performing Arts Association office at 816-279-1225 or visiting the office at 719 Edmund Street in St. Joseph. You can also order tickets online. A link to the website can be found on the KXCV KRNW website at kxcv.org. You can find information about these events and links to various arts organizations on the KXCV KRNW website at kxcv.org. Please join us again next Thursday. In the meantime, have a great week. For KXCV KRNW, I'm Patty Hawley.